the latter part of the Bible. And so during this chapter by chapter study, we try and pick up a few principles that we can put into use in our life. So hopefully you'll join us for that. We have a kids class, a young adults class, and we're looking to make disciples out of all generations because every person needs to be grounded in the Word of God. We hope you'll join us. The church is located 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. We're two blocks north of 520. We're two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. If you're familiar with the Ola Kitchen, Ola Cuban Cuisine, I believe is what the official title of it is, the Cuban restaurant on the corner of Grove and Tangerine, we're right across the street from that. We've been there since 1952. I haven't been there that long, but the church has been, and we continue to strive to be a blessing to Brevard County and around the world for the kingdom of God as much as possible. We'd love it if you could join us. We do Bible study on Wednesday night. We provide the tables, we provide the chairs, we provide the study guides. We even have the pens. All we need is you. And so hopefully you'll come and join us as we study that. So let's get to Psalm 69, verse number 16 says, "Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. And do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies." So that's where we are going to start. Now, I want to point out to you there that in verses 13 and again in verse number 16, we see that the relationship that we have with God that causes us to know that God hears our prayers is that God has got an acceptable time. He's in charge of the timeline. That he hears us in his mercy. He hears us in truth. He hears us with a heart for salvation. He hears us in his loving kindness and in his tender mercies. So we've talked about that on yesterday's program. Today, I want to pick up on this. And verse number 17 says, "And do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily." There are a lot of people that when they see something disturbing going on, they want to look the other way. They want to reroute. You know, we see in modern times that people would rather record it than intervene in the situation, and that God is not one who abandons us when we are going through troubling times. David does not say, you know, there are some people who say I'm in trouble just because the waters are up to my neck and I can't touch the bottom and I'm sinking and the waters are rising and there's nothing I can do to extricate myself from this situation. There are some people who'd say, "Well, you just gotta, you just gotta have faith that you know your situation is not as bad as it appears." I want you to listen to what David says. He says, "I am in trouble." Denying the reality of trouble is not going to be really effective. Acknowledging that it's there, but that God is still on the throne of your life, even when you are in times of trouble, that's really where the faith comes into practice. You say, this is a troubling situation. Trouble will impact your personality. It can cause... I've seen trouble cause people to panic who hardly ever panicked. I've seen other people who were prone to panic that became very stoic and very level-headed in times of trouble. And then as soon as the trouble was over, then they made up for lost time and went back to panicking again. We need to have our eyes on Jesus, not just on Sunday morning, but we need to have our eyes on Jesus every day of the week, not just when we're dealing with spiritual matters, but when we're dealing with challenges in every area of our life. Now, make no bones about it, I am working through this psalm because the end result of this psalm is going to be praise. So if you find yourself in trouble, realize that it is not the end of the matter, it's just the beginning of your testimony. So David writes here, I am in trouble, and in another translation, the Amplified says, and distressed. So I saw something cute here a few weeks ago, and it said, have you ever wondered why you want to eat sweets whenever you are stressed? And it said, well, the reason is because stressed spelled backwards is desserts. I thought that was kind of cute. So you and I, we can be going through troubling times, but we need to realize that those seasons have not caused God to abandon us. Instead, they are setting us up for our newest testimony of deliverance. So David concludes that particular verse, and says, hear me speedily, listen fast. I need God's attention, and I need it right now. And so the truth of the matter is God's always focused. I'll talk a little bit towards the end of Psalm 69 here about how we are supposed to seek the Lord, something that popped up in my preparation for this. And I can tell you this, the amount of distance that God can cover in a short period of time to get you from a perilously dangerous situation to a complete and total deliverance is just a fraction of a second. It's the twinkling of an eye. And so do not think that God is restricted to the same timeline as man is. He can bring deliverance quickly. It says here, draw in verse number 18, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. So as I was preparing before I came into the station this morning, I saw something, even though I've gone through this psalm number of times now, I saw something about David's prayer here that caught my attention, and that was this: draw near to my soul. He describes a very dangerous situation. He's got very real enemies. He's got problems. He's got relationship issues. He's got some ramifications from his foolishness and from his sins. But instead of David crying out, hey, God, would you come and draw near and bring healing to my body? The first thing that David asks is, God, I need you to minister to my soul, to my life, my mind, my will, my emotions. I need you to minister to the parts of me that can't be seen by anybody else. And so does David want to be delivered from the trouble and the distress and the problems? Absolutely. But what he asked for is God to minister to him while he's in the situation. And he says, redeem my soul. And Jesus has done that. He's paid the price for us. I don't know if you've ever forgotten something at the store. You paid for it and you forgot it. So here a week or so ago, I was on my way to the grocery store. I needed to get something for the ladies' meeting that night, a few things for the ladies' meeting that night. I went to the store, got them all in the cart, went to the checkout, reached for my wallet to pay for what I needed, and realized that I wasn't going to be able to walk out of the store with those goods because I had left my wallet. It had been a morning that my schedule got all messed up. We had a vehicle problem that threw my day into disarray. And because I knew I was going to be under the hood of a car, I changed clothes. And when I did, when I changed clothes, I forgot to put my wallet in the new pair of pants that I was wearing. So I couldn't pay for the goods. So I told the person, I said, I'm going to go put all of this stuff back and I will come back when I am able to pay for it. The truth of the matter is that Jesus is our Redeemer. There's a song that I love. It says, My Redeemer Lives. My Redeemer Lives. It's an older song. It goes back probably 25 years or maybe even a little bit longer. But I absolutely love that song. My Redeemer Lives. He paid the price, and it was a price that was very expensive. But he paid it, and he lives, so that we can experience the benefit. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. I want to declare to you today that because Jesus is your Redeemer, he has the ability to minister to the problems of our soul, that we do not have to live under the challenges and the emotional trauma that others, we don't have to live under the curse of what they did to us. We can allow Jesus to extend the domain of his kingdom over our mind, our will, and emotions, and bring healing where the enemy brought trauma. Not dismissing the trauma. I'm not saying that God may not bring healing through counseling, through the ministry of the word and things like that, but I can tell you this, I don't want to live with the enemy controlling any area of my personality or my mindset or anything like that. I want my soul redeemed and walking in the full benefits of redemption. So deliver me or set me free because of my enemies. I was having a conversation with a person here a few weeks ago. We had gone on a missions trip together. There was a few pastors from Brevard County that went on this missions trip, and we found ourselves completely and totally surrounded by people who were very hostile. They had unsheathed machetes. They had picked up stones that were not little. They were very large stones, about the size of a large potato, that could have really done a lot of harm. And while we were surrounded by those people who were not wanting to treat us kindly, God gave us favor, and we walked through the hostility of that crowd unharmed, uninjured, and about an hour and a half or 2 hours later, we were within a couple of hundred yards of that same crowd, and we were distributing groceries and ministering to the poor. I'll never forget that. God set us free from being surrounded, and then a little bit later, we were we were still ministering in the name of Jesus and in the love of Jesus and meeting the needs of people in the community. Never underestimate the power that Jesus has to set you free. There's an old hymn. It's titled simply, He Set Me Free. He set me free. One of the things that I see going on in our nation right now is that there's beginning to be a hunger, not just for the new things that God is doing, but there seems to be a desire to go back and revisit some of the praise and worship songs, some of the hymns of decades gone by, because there was power, there was blessing in some of those songs. And some people are going back and they're putting, you know, a little bit of a modern twist to it, to, you know, changing it up just a little bit to where it is both old and new at the same time. And I love the fact that there's treasures in the kingdom of God that are brand new, but there are also treasures that stand the test of time. So please understand that as we cry out to God, that He will draw near to us and He will deliver us from our enemies. Verse number 29. Let me read a few of these verses here. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your heart shall live, for the Lord hears the poor and does not despise His prisoners. That's where I'm going to end reading right now. Here is another one of those statements that David makes about his current reality, where in verse number 17, he says, I am in trouble. I need you to hear me speedily. Here he says, I am poor and sorrowful. And another translation adds, in pain. Okay? So, a lot of times, there are tricks, there are techniques that people use, there are filters that people use on their cameras, and you know, before they post them on social media and things like that, there are devices that have been invented and techniques and makeup and all that sort of stuff that people use to make themselves look better than they are in reality. One of the things that I love about the Bible is it shows people with their flaws, unlike much of other ancient literature, which glossed over people's failures and shortcomings and only talked about their successes. Here, David, you know, he says, I'm up to my neck in problems. I can't touch the bottom. It is only a matter of time until my problems overwhelm me unless God intervenes. I am in trouble. And he says, I am poor. I am sorrowful. You know, so there are a lot of times that people look at people, and there are some people who were born with gold spoons in their mouth. There are people who were born with silver spoons in their mouth. There were people who were born with plastic spoons in their mouth. Hi, allow me to introduce myself. My name's Bob. You know, we didn't have gold or silver spoons. We were lucky to, you know, have, you know, the cheapest silverware that was out there. There are some people who had, you know, wooden spoons from the ice cream cups that you could buy, you know, the really cheap stuff and things like that. There are some people who, you know, they come from a financial situation that made mine look good. So understand that God can change your socioeconomic status. David started out as a shepherd. He ended up as king. He ended up moving from one of the most despised professions to one of the most desired professions. That's a good word. And along the way, he became very, very wealthy. But here he says, I am poor. Sometimes that poverty is not poverty of finances. Sometimes it's poverty of spirit. Sometimes it's poverty of experience. Sometimes it's poverty of friends. Whatever it is that you are going through, please understand that God can change that. He also says that he was sorrowful. That word means to be filled with sorrow. At that point in time, you need to remember that God doesn't just bring you to a condition, he brings you through a condition. Don't put a stop sign up in the midst of a circumstance that God was only bringing you through so that you would be able to minister more compassionately and more gloriously for him. Sorrow is a reality of this fallen world, but we serve a God who turns our mourning into dancing. He turns our sorrow into rejoicing. And so I want to encourage you, don't set up residence in a place you're only passing through. That's what Abraham's father Terah did. He, on his journey to the promised land, before it was known as the promised land, he had a son that died, and Terah stopped his journey to Canaan and set up his permanent residence in Haran. And Abraham has an encounter with God and says, hey, I want you to finish the journey. And Abraham and Sarah and Lot, they end up finishing the journey. Let God bring you through. Don't stay camped out in that season of mourning and being filled with sorrow. The kingdom of God is still righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So let God minister to you through that. But there's another thing that was mentioned in the Amplified Version, and that is, he says, I am poor and sorrowful and in pain. There are a lot of people. There are now things that are called pain management. I know people that live in intense pain, and there are physicians that deal with alleviating the pain as best they can. But there is pain beyond physical pain. I have a friend that almost died from broken heart syndrome when her mother-in-law died. She loved her mother-in-law so much that when that woman passed away, she almost died. It was so traumatic and painful. But she's still alive, still serving Jesus, still bringing glory and honor to Jesus, and she's gone through a lot of heartache since that time. And so I would tell you today that you can still cry out to God and say, God, you are the Lord, my healer. Healing is not just what you do. Healer is who you are. And God, I want to ask you, would you be Lord over the area of my life that is experiencing such intense pain? Jesus took it on the cross, and I pray that he takes that pain away from you. I'm going to close today by praying for us. God, there are many who are listening that, like David, they say, I'm in trouble. I need you to come and come in a hurry. There are some who are filled with sorrow. There are some who are in pain. And God, I pray today that miracles would come and that you would heal them in Jesus' name. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.